Good morning. All right. So before we get in, I just have a few different things about the life of the church and just to kind of inform and let you know about things that are going on. And many of you know that next week we're going to have a ministry fair. And if you are in charge of a ministry or you're part of a ministry team, I want to encourage you to sign up for a booth because we are a church that views service as, well, part of the outflow of our faith, and we want to both proclaim the ways that the Lord has called us to serve, but also invite others in, so that they, similarly, their faith can outflow as well. And on the screen, we have different things. You know, Pete, our facilities manager, has been busy this summer and this year, and lots of different upgrades and things that have been going on. So I don't know if you've noticed over the past several weeks, you know, through Aaron and Matt Carball and Pete, you know, we have a new sound system. So hopefully we don't, you know, before it was dead spots and hot spots, and now we just have spots. And hopefully it's a little bit more even throughout the sanctuary. On the third floor, you know, through some of the IVNS surplus of funds, we've been able to renovate the bathrooms up there, and that's been a pretty big job. This summer, we've also had to redo the roof on the educational wing. It was, emergency need, as it is, and so they got that done. And lastly, in our nursery area, we've had to do some renovation. We wanted to expand what's called the smaller nursery because we needed more space and more babies and children, which is a really, really good thing. We also were reimagining how some of that space is used. And then we started to renovate and we realized, well, there's asbestos in these tiles. And so it became a much more labor intensive and expensive cost that we set out to, but it's good and it looks beautiful. So if you want to, you can go and check it out at some point. With that being said, let's pray before we hear the word of the Lord preached to us. Kind Father, we give you thanks and praise for your grace, your kindness to us. And this Baptism Sunday, where we acknowledge and proclaim your goodness, your saving power. Lord, we ask that your word would continue to go forth and to draw men and women and children to yourself, that your ability to save, your ability to make new and transform would go out. Come, Lord Jesus, in the midst of our time here. Be powerful among us by your Spirit, that we would find life in you. We pray in the wonderful and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Oh man, I like the amens from the front row. In fact, I like how busy it is up in the front row today. But if you would turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. If you're using one of those red pew Bibles, I believe it's on page 1150. And we're going to hear the word of the Lord. It's not going to be on the screen today, but hear what Paul writes to his people, starting at verse 3. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 3. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. It's not uncommon in talking with baptismal candidates over the years when I'm asking about why you might want to be baptized, where I hear a response similar to this. Well, I want to take the next step. I want to go to a new level. I want to go forward from where I am. And in some sense, there is a goodness in this desire, but there's also a wrong way of thinking about baptism. Like it's, you know, like you're in the early stages of dating and, or, you know, you're just talking to him like, yeah, I'm going to ask her to finally be my girlfriend, right? We're moving up to the next level. We're taking the next commitment. Or perhaps sometimes it even comes across like, you know, a video game. I'm leveling up, right? I've done what I can do at this level. Now it's time for me to move on. Kind of like if sometimes when you're like a senior in high school and college and you kind of suddenly all the work becomes very easy and you feel like I've outgrown this place. And you're looking at your spiritual experience and like, hey, I've outgrown this realm. It's time for me to level up. So I'm going to go get baptized. Or sometimes we even think about it like this. It's like, hey, well, the work that has been done has been shown to be serious. And baptism is a way that I proclaim that I actually take these things seriously. Now, and all that that can be good, except baptism from the New Testament perspective is a little bit different. It's not the next step. It's the first step. It's the first step that you do when you hear the call of Jesus on your life. Right? Remember, if you remember it back in Acts 2, as the Spirit comes upon God's people and weird things start happening, and all the people around are looking at it, it's like, what's going on here? And Peter gets up and he proclaims what God has done through Christ. That this Jesus whom you've crucified, he says to the people, God raised and made him both Lord and Messiah. And the people cut to the heart, it says, and they cry out, well, what should we do? We got blood on our hands. We've killed the one that God has sent for us. And he tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins, and receive the Holy Spirit. It is the first step for those who hear the call of God on their lives, who recognize that Jesus, as he calls that, well, I respond through repentance and baptism. Why? Because baptism is repentance. Baptism is embodied repentance. And when we baptize and we take people and we dunk them into the water and we raise them out, what we are doing is an embodied sign of what we are declaring is happening. That in the midst of all the pomp and the circumstance, in the midst of all the ritual and liturgy, we proclaim that God is doing a work among his people. An important work. A salvific work. Because as we baptize children and adults, what we are doing is, well, we are putting to death the old man. The one bound in sin and shame and guilt. The one unable to do what is right and good and follow the laws of God. The one bound in the power of sin and unable to escape. And we are agreeing with God what he says about that person. He needs to die. He cannot be reformed. He cannot be bartered with. That within me there is one who needs to die, who lives in rebellion against God and against all who he is, who does not want to follow his laws, who does not want to walk in his ways. And for many of us that who are content with our lives as they are, that seems like a horrifying thing. Perhaps it should. But for those who recognize the burden of being trapped and bound in sin, that is the good news of the gospel. That the one that I was, I no longer am. That the one who is bound in sin and under the chains and domination of its power can be set free and free entirely. That in that tank, that God is at work through his Son and by his Spirit to take somebody like me, captive and bound, and put that one to death, that a new person, a new man, one transformed into the image and the likeness of his Son, can emerge victoriously. That's good news. That's the news that we proclaim at baptism, and that's the news that God begins as we dunk people into the tank and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We proclaim that Christ himself is baptizing these ones into his life. What does the text say? What does the text say when we talk about baptism? He says, we were baptized into Christ, into his death. We were buried with him through baptism. We have been united with him. That what we proclaim is there's a mystery that avails for the people of God. In the midst of all that's happening, he's at work, uniting you to his Son, that you can walk in newness of life. So those being baptized, walk in this new life. It's not a trivial undertaking. God is making you new. Walk in that. Don't shirk it off. Don't shrug it off. Don't let it slip through the grasp of your hands, this gift that God is giving you. There's new life here. For those, the church, you've been baptized. And perhaps you even realize, I have not been walking in this new life. I have failed to do so. I have continued to walk in the flesh and the power thereof. Well, what should I do? Do I need to be baptized again? And we say, no, you do not. Because while you may have let go of Christ, Christ has not let go of you. What you do is you affirm your baptism through your repentance. And you proclaim, Lord, still within me is one that still needs to die. Put him to death that I may find life. That's the call of baptism. And for the people of God, that's good news. At this point, I'd like to invite up the baptismal candidates. You can stand on my left, your right. And as we prepare to go under baptism, well, there's a few questions I'm going to ask you, things that, well, to affirm God's calling on your life. And before we ask these questions, well, together we are going to recite the Apostles' Creed. Throughout many centuries and probably 1,700 years, the church, in different languages, in different times, in different regions, all around the world, throughout all time, people would recite this creed, among others, to set the boundaries of the faith, of what, who we are, and what is the faith that saves. And if you would, say it with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are formally initiated into Christ's holy church, incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Lord, during this time, we do ask that as we undergo these things, that your hand would be in the midst, binding these souls to yourself, that in Christ that they would be buried, so that in Christ that they would be raised. To your glory, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, candidates, I have three simple questions for you, and I'll give you the answers. Will you this morning be baptized into the Christian faith as we summarize through the Apostles' Creed? If so, answer, I will. Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? If so, answer, I do. And will you follow and obey Jesus all the days of your life? If so, answer, with God's help, I will. And to you, the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, in remembering your own baptism, reaffirm your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, answer, we do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you into your care? If so, answer, with God's help, we will. At this time, we are going to pray over the candidates. Kind Father, we pray for each one of these, Lincoln, Bella, Jasmine, AJ. Come, Lord Jesus, in might and power. Do what you can do and no one else. That they would live by your Spirit, that they would walk in your ways, that the old self riddled under the bondage of sin would die, that the one that you've called them to be would live, that you would, through every moment of their days, from their first waking breath to their last one at night, that they would live for your glory forever and always, we pray, in the wonderful and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.